In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sprasnikam. Joyous feast. This is the feast of Holy Pentecost. And we are blessed to celebrate liturgy this morning in a strange place. We are displaced in a small way from what is normal and familiar. And instead, we are celebrating the liturgy downstairs in our fellowship hall. It's a tiny space. We've had to improvise a bit and to make our downstairs resemble our upstairs. And in many ways, we are kind of making things up as we go along, a little bit, making decisions and adjustments sort of in real time. And anticipating this day and certainly feeling it now, I feel very strongly this morning the vulnerability of our parish family. We are not a large group. We are small. And every small group is fragile. Every small family of believers is just a few weeks or a few months away from collapse. In a small community like ours, we feel the death of our friends so very sharply. When a member or a family moves away, the hole that they leave, is big. It's felt more strongly than in a larger community. When there's an unexpected bill or a big-time repair, we wonder whether we can keep affording to maintain such an old building, whether we can continue to afford paying the priest. Life here at St. Nicholas is not a sure thing. It is important to admit the truth and acknowledge that we are small and fragile. And in its lifetime, there are always two times when a church is small and fragile. The first time is always at the start of its life. When a church is born, it is neither big nor strong. It is in need of protection and growth. We celebrate the Feast of Pentecost this day, and for certain on that first Pentecost Sunday, just 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, for certain the new church, that very first church in Jerusalem, is small and fragile. When you count up the numbers, that first church probably has the same number of people as we do. There were the disciples. There are the women who followed that we know from Scripture. There are no doubt those who became followers of Jesus because they had been healed and welcomed by Christ Himself. They are mostly poor, not all of them. There's one or two wealthy members. We know that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are there. But when the Holy Spirit descends on the followers of Jesus that first Pentecost, it finds a group that is shaky and afraid. The future is uncertain. They have enemies. Some of them are fugitives from the law. Many are far from home, far from home. Maybe the furthest from home they've ever been. But the Lord touches that new church. The Holy Spirit gives birth to the body of Christ, and in power, the church in Jerusalem spreads throughout the empire, bringing good news to the poor and to the sick, bringing the message of God's love and salvation to the entire empire and beyond. They are small and fragile in the way that a newborn child is small and fragile. But because Christ dwells with them, and because they commit to the kingdom promised by Christ, their weakness gives way to power. Power to change people's lives. The church is small and fragile at the start of life, but not only then. The church is also small and fragile at the end of life. God can and does take his hand away from our ministries. God can refuse to hear our prayers. He can withhold his blessing from the work that we claim to do. One of the scariest passages in Scripture is the first chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, is appointed by God to go and to convince Israel that it's traveling down a bad path, and that Israel needs to return to the path which God has appointed for them. And we read from Isaiah chapter 1 at the start of every great Lent. This is what the church tells us to read during those days of Clean Week. Hear them. These are the words which we heard from God just 99 days ago. These are hard words. Says God, "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices?" Says the Lord, "I have had enough of burnt offerings, enough of the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he goats. Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies," those are feast days, "I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates." That's a hard word. It's right there in Scripture. "My soul hates. They've become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, says God, I will not listen." Worship at the great temple in Jerusalem was a mighty and powerful affair. They could put on a pretty mean liturgy. But God says, I quote, "I hate that." He calls their worship an abomination. He cannot endure it. God says to Israel, "I can't even stand to be in the same room with you." And the reason is that Israel honored God with their lips once a week in church, but during the rest of the week, God's teaching didn't make a difference in their lives. God said, "Take care of the poor." They ignored the poor. God said, "Take up the cause of the weak and the powerless." They loved injustice more than justice. God said, "Welcome the stranger, even if he doesn't believe what you believe." But they didn't. And so God turned away. And the people of God, they became, once mighty, they became small and fragile. The Old Testament church approaches death. It shrivels and wastes away. It loses the divine blessing that once made it powerful. And so when we look around and realize that we also are a small and fragile church, the question pops up. Are we small and fragile because our life in Christ is just beginning? Or are we small and fragile because we are moving closer to the end of our life? Are we like the church of the apostles in Jerusalem, clinging to the good news of the resurrection of Christ? Or are we like the church to which Isaiah speaks, pretty good at putting on a liturgy, but pretty lousy at offering ourselves in love to others who need us? Are we like the apostles at Pentecost, willing to organize all of life around the kingdom which Christ begins to bring forth through his committed believers? Or are we like those to whom God sends Isaiah? Does our worship make no difference to our lives and to the lives of those around us? St. Nicholas has been here for 115 years. Have we made a difference in the neighborhood? Have we made a difference in this region? Has God changed your life? And have you gone out and helped others experience the same change? The change that grows from the good news that we are loved and we are pursued by a God who desires to share his divine life with us for all of eternity. Are we being birthed? Or are we preparing for death? Are we opening the doors more widely? Or are we getting ready to close the doors for the last time? Brothers and sisters, let's assume the worst. let's assume the worst. That we are small and fragile, and that God cannot endure our solemn assemblies. That we are small and fragile, and that our incense is an abomination to God. He will no longer hear our prayers, bless our ministry. Because we do not welcome the stranger. Because we think of ourselves, but never of the gigantic needs in the communities around us. That's hard to think about. But even if it's true, even if our struggles are the struggles of a dying parish, the good news is that God never gives up hope, ever. And neither will we. God might withhold his blessing. God never withholds his love. God might let us struggle until we come to our senses. But when we get up and realize our mistake and go back to the house of the Father, God is always there to say, "Welcome home." He is there to receive us and to make us once again sons and daughters of the kingdom. Our loving Father is able to turn our deaths into life. That is the meaning of Pentecost Sunday. It comes to us every year as a celebration, yes, but it also comes to us every year as an invitation. The Holy Spirit descends once again on the small and fragile community of believers who dare to place their hope in the power of the resurrection. The Holy Spirit is sent by Christ to take what is weak and tiny and to bring forth life and to grow it, to give it power. The Holy Spirit comes and it turns fishermen into apostles. The Holy Spirit turns fellowship halls into the very courts of heaven. The Holy Spirit takes you and he takes me and he creates with us a revolution in the midst of a world that really, really needs it. And all we have to do, this morning and every morning, all we have to do is say yes. We have to stop saying, "I can't," and to start saying, "With your help, Lord, we will and we can." There are deep needs around us. It's time to be moved by those needs and to bring the gospel to a world that suffers. We have to always proclaim good news. That's what we're doing right now. But we also have to become good news to others. And that's what the Lord sends us forth to do after we depart in peace. When God tells Israel through Isaiah that he hates their worship, those horrible, really, really strong words, when he tells them that he can't even stand to be in the same building with their perfect liturgies and their entertaining worship, God doesn't stop there. God offers them another chance. He offers them a Pentecost. He offers them new birth. God turns to Israel and he turns to us this Pentecost Sunday. And this is what he says. Same passage, Isaiah 1. He says, "But listen to me. Go and wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Very simply, Christ sends forth his Holy Spirit this day, and he gives us power to do just that, to seek justice, to correct oppression, to defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Christ gives us the power to love God with all that we have on Sundays, and on Mondays through Saturdays to love our neighbor as ourself. That's the teaching, pure and simple, given to Israel, given to us once again through Christ. Christ gives us the power to be born once again into newness of life, to change our smallness and fragility into an unstoppable source of life and joy and hope for the world that is waiting for us. Joyous feast.
Joyous feast.